Good evening. Welcome everyone to Simple Actions, a group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Lygia and I'm an alcoholic.
Lygia.
For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with a serenity prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Actions group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively, which are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA simple actions. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the steps discussed tonight. This evening, we're going to be discussing steps 5, 6, and 7. Please welcome our panel, David and Trent. I will read the first paragraph on page 72, and then the panel will share for a few minutes on each of the readings. Page 72. Having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We've been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects. We have ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which when completed, will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects. This brings us to the fifth step in the program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter. This is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. We think we have done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. There is doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Many of us thought it necessary to go much further. We will be more reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reasons why we should do so. The best reason first. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves. But they had not learned enough of humility fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. So.
You want me to go first?
Sure. My name is Trent, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Trent.
I'm glad to be here tonight. Grateful to be sober. Thanks for cheering the meet tonight, Lygia, and thanks for inviting us down here. So, the two paragraphs that Lygia just read, I just want to pick out one part of it. When I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I felt like people, even in meetings, were saying out loud things that you were not supposed to say out loud in public. in the way I grew up, in the house I grew up, sports and the weather. That's it. And so in AA meetings, I thought people were being just, you shouldn't say that stuff because then people have things on you that they can use. So when it got to this step, I thought that I could admit it to God because that at the time I didn't really have a higher power that I understood. So that kind of seemed like, I'll go ahead and do that. Saying it to another person frightened me. And if it had not been for that sentence, which I think is one of the best sentences in all of AA literature, which is that if they skip this step, they will not overcome drinking. I think that's one of the best statements in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's the one that grabbed me because at that time I thought that if I could, I don't know, the word overcome makes me a little uncomfortable, but that if I would stop drinking, that what brought me to Alcoholics Anonymous would also stop happening. That's the only reason I did this step. Because somebody said to me that if you do it, you got a shot. And once I did do it, even though my first fifth step, which was a little over 25 years last month, 25 years ago, I knew I was part of the club after doing that step. I knew I could come into meetings and when people talked about it, I could think, yeah, I at least tried to do some of that. And so for me, it's not only a revelatory step, it was also a step that made me feel like it brought me into membership Alcoholics Anonymous, made me feel like I was part of. And since there was a word for everything that I shared with my first sponsor, it meant that it had been done before, and that really comforted me. So,
thanks, Trent. I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Dave. Hey.
Thanks for chairing the meeting, Lydia, and thank all y'all for having us here. And it's hard for me to talk about these two paragraphs without going back to step three. I was just a big puddle of fear. And when I got here, I'd spent 3 months in Williamsburg, not a sponsor there. It took me through the first two steps. And then I moved back to Virginia Beach and was kind of using him remotely, so to speak, and not too accountable. And at one point, he told me not to call him anymore until I got a sponsor here. So that sponsor was telling me, you know, when are you going to do your four step? When are you going to do your four step? Well, it was about 6 months I was sober, and I was thinking about drinking. Because all the things I had done, all the things that belonged on a fourth step were swimming around in my head, you know. I had never spoken to anybody about any of this kind of stuff, like Trent talked about. And but I knew I was going to drink. I could taste it. I knew that it would temporarily quell that. And I just left a meeting, and I still wanted to drink, and I got to a stoplight at a T-intersection. And it was a mile one way to the Oxford House and a mile the other way to my favorite bar. And I said, God, please get me home tonight. And that was my third step prayer. I got home, and something changed. I woke up, and I knew what to do, and I went to the library, and I just started writing. And it came pouring out. And there was such relief in just getting it out of my head that when it came to five, once it took me 2 or 3 days, and I was ready to tell somebody because I was getting relief out of it, you know. So really, when I got to five, I wasn't scared, and I think that goes back again to step three. I'd abandoned myself to God at that point, and that was the last time I'd had a serious compulsion to drink. So I made an appointment with my sponsor. We did it in the kitchen over at All Donation Episcopal, where I was going to meetings every day, but 3 or 4 of them were in that church, so I felt very comfortable. Like Trent said, as I was spilling my guts, occasionally he'd chime in with a story to make me not feel so bad about it. But I told him things I'd never told anybody, including myself, you know, things that I really didn't want to admit to myself. But again, there was a lot of relief in it. I did not see the burning bush. As Trent likes to say, there's only one guy that ever saw the burning bush, you know. Why do I think I should see it? But anyway, I did. I just left with a great feeling of being much lighter. And also, like Trent said, I felt like I belonged, like I'd actually done something, you know, in AA, I'd done some of the work. And of course, I could share on 4 and 5 then when there were meetings on 4 and 5. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. We're going to continue now on page 73. More than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. He is very much the actor. To the outer world, he presents his stage character. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. The inconsistency is made worse by the things he does on his sprees. Coming to his senses, he is revolted at certain episodes he vaguely remembers. These memories are a nightmare. He trembles to think someone might have observed him. As fast as he can, he pushes these memories far inside him. He hopes they will never see the light of day. He is under constant fear and tension. That makes for more drinking.
Megan?
Okay. Yes.
So, the first paragraph, I know sometimes when I'm sitting out where you guys are sitting, I'm not always listening. I'm sitting up here, it's easier to listen. And that first paragraph is one of the most uncomfortable paragraphs in all the literature for me. Every time it's read, and I've probably seen and read and heard that read literally thousands of times, but that first sentence, more than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. I don't know if anybody else feels like getting up and walking out when they read that, but I always do. I know that that's something that described me to a T, that when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I knew it was. I knew there was the way I thought people looked at me, and when I got here, there was the way people actually looked at me. And that's what steps 5, 6, 7, and 8, and 9 did for me. It brought those two together. How I saw myself and how people really saw me. Turns out the way I saw myself, as that paragraph says, was totally out of whack with reality. And I always was the type of person, probably the only person like that in here, that gave myself way too much credit. But I would always give myself more credit than I deserved. And I always, in any relationship, I just was always disappointed every single time ever people didn't do exactly what I wanted them to do, even if I hadn't told them what that was. And so this paragraph right here always makes me feel like I'm making some progress in the program, because I know that's not true anymore. And what I like about the second paragraph, the one thing that I did not want to share more than anything was the first thing my first sponsor asked me about. My deepest, darkest secret was the one that he went right to. What's the one on the list that you'd like to tell me the least? And I think that that's something that to this day I carry with guys that I try to help in the program, is that it's that one thing that I would have left off the list that is the number one thing I need to share. And I remember to this day what it was. And once it got outside of me and I could get to the point where that person was on my amends list, that's, for me, when things started to actually change. So, thanks.
I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic.
Dave.
And, you know, that first sentence, the alcoholic leads a double life. I led about 10 lives. I wanted to be in every group, fit in everywhere, be a part of everything, you know, and for all those different groups to embrace me and, you know, think highly of me as the 12 and 12 calls it, he doesn't want to be liked among his fellows or something like that. But so, you know, that takes a lot of work, keeping track of all that and wearing all those masks. But really, I think the double life for me was just the egoism and the inferiority complex, you know, that I had to put on this bravado in front of you while when I was by myself, I just felt like, you know, the bottom of a shoe. And the inability to keep that going, and then in the second paragraph, the things I did, and again trying to keep track of it all, that's what eventually drove me into isolation. You know, I couldn't even be around people anymore because I knew what I was doing. I knew they knew what I was doing, and I felt like somehow if they didn't see me, they'd forget about me. But you know, and that's how I did a lot of my damage to people, is by not being present. By not showing up when I said I would, by not returning calls, and by just hiding out, you know. So, you know, and all of that was just, it's that two, what do they call it, the reverse side of pride or whatever, you know, where I'm the best, I'm the worst. You know, it went from all the way down for me. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave.
We're going to continue now on page 75. When we decide who's to hear our story, we waste no time. We have a written inventory, and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. You should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe.
So the first fifth step I did, I'll describe just quickly how I met that guy. I had been in jail 5 days with my last DUI. And the guy I did my first fifth step was the guy that came in, picked me up out of jail. And so while I was in that jail, I went through some withdrawal. And on the second night, I started to throw up. And so I just did what we do. I kind of placed myself sort of around the toilet and hugged it for about 24 hours. And while I was throwing up, I was using any jail people here. Use the blue toilet water to clean my face off with. So that paints a nice picture. What it did is it stained the whole front of my face bright blue from about here down, stained my clothes. I was literally covered in my own vomit and blue toilet water from the jail when I showed up at Alcoholics Anonymous. Hi, everybody. And so that guy, I felt like, when I walked into that meeting, I felt like that was actually the worst moment of my life. Not the jail, not anything else, but the fact that I'd walked into Alcoholics Anonymous. I thought it could not have gotten any worse if I'm sitting in this room with you people. I thought, oh, how did it get so bad? How did it go so wrong? And what happened was is that guy was the one who convinced me over a fairly short period of time that I needed to do this if I wanted to stop drinking. So when I sat down to actually do this with him the first time, I felt like he'd already seen me at the worst moment of my life. And it really gave me a sense of encouragement that even though I felt like what I was about to do was something that I would have never otherwise chosen to do, which it describes in the second paragraph of what she read, that we pocket our pride and go to illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. As I started to do that with this person, the spiritual experience that happened for me was a connection that I'd never had before. I had always felt this apartness from everybody. And I know I caused that to a large degree. My ego and my pride wouldn't allow people to see but so much of me. And so when I started to do that with this person, I felt all of a sudden like something was changing. And I realized why the step was written to include both God and another human being. I realize that more deeply now, of course, but at the time I had an inkling like, it's not just he and I here, that there's something else going on. And even though I couldn't put a finger on what that something else was, I knew that when I'd heard people in Alcoholics Anonymous talking about having a higher power, the book says lack of power, that's our dilemma, that we have to find a power with which to live by. It has to be a power greater than ourselves. That when people were saying that they were doing that and that that was what was helping them overcome their drinking problem, I thought, huh, that's what it is. And that was the first time that I'd ever drawn the two together. And for me, I see people, and we were talking about somebody before the meeting who's a mutual friend of ours, who a couple of months ago did his fifth step with me, 6-7 months ago did his fifth step with me. I knew when he was doing it that he was leaving stuff out. I just knew it. Having done it, listened to quite a few fifth steps in the time I've been in Alcoholics Anonymous, I just flat out knew he was leaving some stuff out. And I asked him, you know, is there anything else you want to put on there? Is there something else you want to talk about? Is there anything else? We were talking about him before that, you know, he was just in detox. He checked himself out against medical advice. He's dying from alcoholism because he can't uncover those things. His pride won't let him uncover those things in front of people. And that will be the thing that kills him. The drinking will be what's on the death certificate, but that'll be what kills him, is the fact that he couldn't let us, who already know pretty much what alcoholics go through. I mean, everybody in this room has a body of experience that's greater than us individually, and that's what Alcoholics Anonymous is. It's tapping into that other person and all of us, the first tradition, and my personal recovery depends on that. And the only way that I could tap into the AA unity when I was in my first year or two of Alcoholics Anonymous was by doing this step. That's why the book says if you don't do it, you won't make it. So, you know, if you're new in here, if you've never done this, just do it. It's okay. I mean, it's hard to, it feels like it's not going to be okay, or it feels like, what would I do that for? I just go ahead and do it and see what happens. And like they said to me when I got here, if you don't like it, we'll give you back whatever you came here with. There's the door, and nobody will stop you, so. Glad to be. Thanks.
I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic.
Dave.
And I knew who I was going to do it with. I knew I was going to do it with my sponsor. There wasn't much question. But like I spoke about in the third step, this prayer thing was just starting to work for me. I actually saw some results from that, you know. And so I wanted to invite God in. And my first sponsor had taught me that whenever we got together, we always said a prayer first to invite God to be with us, and that really helped me. You know, that alleviated some of the fear. The other thing that really helped me was my sponsor said, "This is just a bunch of lists. You know, it's a list of your resentments, a list of your faults that you get right from the outside column of the resentments, a list of your fears, a list of your sex conduct." He had me also do a list of my assets. And a list of my secrets, something, things that I had never told anybody and weren't really covered by the other lists. But he said, just a bunch of lists, we'll go through them. And that eased it for me, too. It wasn't really like I needed to write a novel or anything. So we went through those lists, there was some fear attached to quite a bit of it. But, you know, the thing is, I could tell you any of it today. Any of you, you know, but man, there was so much fear attached to it at that point. But as I get, you know, as I spilled each one, you know, it got easier. And as Trent said, you know, there was a name for everything I'd done. My sponsor often chimed in and said, "Yeah, I did that," or "I did this." But the real beauty of it is, yeah, that today I can tell anybody any of it. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. Now we're going to continue on page 75. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first 5 proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything. For we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand?
So, yeah, Dave and I were talking about this on the ride down here from Virginia Beach, that my first and third sponsor, for whatever it's worth, both, and they did not know each other, they both thought that the two paragraphs on page 75 and 76 that cover steps 6 and 7 was the most important part of the book. My first sponsor said they were the two most important steps. And I was kind of I would say the first time that I went through the steps, I was fairly studious, although I didn't know what I was doing. He would give me assignments. I would read those assignments. I liked to read. And I understood the language. And so step 6 and 7, like she just read, just a tiny little portion of the big, I mean, it's almost skipped. But those two paragraphs, reading them now, are much more powerful for me as time goes on. Because the questions that it asks at the end of here, where it talks about building something, we were talking before the meeting about if you take things out of your program, like if you back off on meetings or you back off on meditation or something. My third sponsor used to always say, just keep removing stuff until you get drunk and then you'll know you've gone too far. And this paragraph is like that. It basically asks the questions that any person in recovery, and certainly me, I should ask myself all the time. You know, not what I did or what am I doing? You know, am I continuing to do this stuff that it talks about in these questions? I'm getting ready to walk through an arch of free man. So, you know, am I skimping on anything? And that's the kind of stuff in a daily inventory that I can ask myself, am I skimping on anything? And the step itself is worded beautifully. It's the step that shows what I am doing here. You know, if I'm going to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I didn't come here a religious person, and I'm not religious now, as a matter of fact, am I going to be able to cross that bridge where the way I was living and the sixth step says, now that I'm entirely ready to have God remove all my defects of character? That's like, for me, a statement of saying that I'm not going to go through this thing alone. That in my daily life, I'm going to invite a power greater than myself into all my actions and all my interactions, everything I do. That's a lot for a person like me to swallow, because I would not choose to do that. Otherwise, we were talking all the way down here. It's not like when I got to 6 and 7, I was like, yeah, I'll do that, sure. Because I'm not built that way. This is almost exactly opposite of the way I would do things naturally. I just basically try to bull my way through things, and then when it all blows up in my face, I think, well, I should try something different. And that has never worked for me. And letting go of the notion that I'm self-generated and can live this life, what the 12 and 12 calls by self-propulsion, this step makes it clear that I cannot do that. And so, for me, to become entirely ready to have God remove my defects of character is something that you guys can do for me. You know, I can always give encouragement to people, but that last decision of whether or not I'm going to do it or not is my decision. And I always have to, in the program, consider what the alternative is. What happens if I don't do whatever it is in front of me? And that's the discussion we were having. I mean, just try it, and I guess as long as you don't get drunk, then you'll know it's okay. But for me, I don't want to take those kinds of choices anymore. I don't want to take those kinds of chances. When I was thinking about this tonight, David and I were talking about this beforehand. A guy that used to go to beach meetings, and he would talk about people who'd want to do what they wanted to do in the program, and I was one of those for many years. Elmo Hawkins, he used to always say, you know, Trent, as soon as you come up with like a book and a program and a worldwide fellowship of millions of people, then we'll talk about what you want to do. But until then, how about we just try AA, because that's already happened. And that's a good reminder to me that I need to do this. You know, I don't need to create anything, because it's all been done before. It's all set out for me, us, and I just need to do it. So, yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Trent. I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic. And, my sponsor sent me home to do this after the fifth step. And I said, all right, I'm going to be done. I'll be on 8 tomorrow. Mm. You know? And as I read this paragraph in particular, I just thought to myself, how do I know if I've done everything? Put the mortar in place and, you know, skimped anywhere. And he told me the next day we talked, and he said, yeah, have you done the best you can? Have you told me, is there anything you're holding back? And I said, no, I've done the best I can. I've told you everything I can think of at this time. He said, all right, well, now that you've done those two paragraphs, we're going to do a little more work on 6 and 7 before we move on. And we just took a closer look at my defects and really the fear underlying that defect, because that's the root cause. And, like Trent said, that's more and more I've got to get my higher power involved. You know, this prayer thing becomes more ingrained in me. And this, plus, this not wanting to cause more pain to others or myself, you know, that I've see this way, that there is another way to live and there's other ways to do things that, for whatever reason, I was blind to, because I spent so long trying to get away with things and trying to work it the easier, or live my life the easier, softer way. And of course, what I found is that the easier, softer way is to do this. and, you know, to make better decisions and to ask God's help. And through all of this, my favorite prayer, and still is just, you know, God grant me the courage to do this if this is what you want me to do. And that has not failed me yet. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave.
We're going to continue on page 76. If we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step 6. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, everyone? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing.
Wow. How long we have here? Because I could go on a long time about that paragraph. No, well, not. Like 15 minutes on humility doesn't seem like. Anyway. I think the question that I get most often when I'm sponsoring a newcomer is, you know, when I go through the process and do the 7-step prayer, then why do I still have defects of character? You know, why am I not done? And why has God not removed them? Which, if anybody has the answer to that, if you could see me after the meeting, I don't know why that is. I know that after I did these steps, I probably was not that much. I didn't feel like I was that much different than I had been before I'd done them. All I was learning was the way forward to start to put this in everyday life and practice it. So although I felt better after my 5th step, I certainly felt the unburdening and I felt the nearness of the Creator that the step talks about, I didn't act that much different for me, like maybe about 8.5 years, and then I started probably doing things a little differently. But for me, it was a long time before I actually felt like the people I knew that were really sober in AA, that I acted like them. It was a long time before I felt that. And I know I was doing stuff all along, and I certainly had put the plug in the jug. But for me, the idea of having defects of character removed is mirrored in the statement that if I'm sober, people will know it. And, you know, sober to me is service. Sober to me is, you know, going out of my way for a friend, taking time to listen, developing a spiritual connection. I didn't do all those things naturally just because I've gone through the steps one time. And I didn't even really know what, even though I'd seen them, I didn't really know how to incorporate that in everyday life. So for me, this short 3 paragraphs right here, that's the long haul for me. That's what it is to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's what I need help from people in here to do. When I hear people do sober things and they share that with me and they're friends of mine, then I know that's the goal. That's how I want to bring that into my everyday life so that I can stay away from drugs and alcohol. If I kept doing the things that I'd done when I got here, I would have eventually gone back. I knew that. The same personal drink again. And so to change, which is the essence of steps 6 and 7, the change that happens from who I was to who I'm going to be, that is not an overnight thing. And I don't mean to say that to be discouraging, but I've never met anybody in here that got this stuff very fast. Matter of fact, the ones that get it fast always leave right away and drink because they got no more use for us. So the ones that stay here are the ones that are in for the long haul. And those are the people that have always shown me through their actions that what a sober person looks like. And I know when I got here, especially after I started making amends to people and realized how mad everybody was at me. Not everybody has that experience, but everybody I went to make amends, at least the first page of my list, people were mad at me. I mean, like, mad. I couldn't believe how upset people were, because if you had asked me before I'd gone through steps 4 and 5, I would have thought, no, nobody's mad at me. What are you talking about? Everybody loves me. And, man, that couldn't have been farther from the truth. I remember a couple of men's just thinking I couldn't get out of that room fast enough, because those people were out for blood. And I did not think that was so. And so, for me, the importance of this 6 and 7 is to try to take me out of my delusion and get a higher power and people in the program involved. And now, having done this step over quite a long period of time, I can say that I believe God will remove my defects of character to the exact extent I'm willing to have them removed. And the ones that I want to hang on to, they will be there until my willingness changes. And I will say that it's important to really, for me, it was important to concentrate in on those big fears that Dave talked about, the ones that triggered my worst defects of character. Those are the ones that people seem to get drunk about. The ones that kind of hang around, people say they get drunk because they had a bad day at work or they have whatever coming up, but it's always something really big nagging in the background. And the ones that I've seen drink after long periods of sobriety, it's always that one thing they skipped on in step five that that comes back around to get them. So, yeah, don't do that. Thanks.
Thanks, Trent. I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic.
Dave.
And, yeah, like I said, after reading this, I thought, oh, God's doing all the work here in six and seven, you know, and wrong again. Mm-hmm. You know, Trent said that the last word in this reading is willing, you know, which implies more action. And my sponsor had me read 6 and 7 out of the 12 and 12, and he particularly keyed in on the part that, for whatever reason, like Trent said, God doesn't render us white as snow. He wants our cooperation, dagnabbit. Mm-hmm. And so what he explained that, how he explained it to me is that only God can remove the defect, just like God removed the compulsion to drink. You know, I wanted to drink, like I said, for 6 months, especially at the end of that 6 months. But in that process, when I abandoned myself to him, I have not had a serious compulsion since. He removed it. But the alcohol is still this far away. You know, it's on the shelf if I ever choose to pick it up. And so what I learned to do was insert God between the thought and the action. When I think of a drink, I say a prayer, I call somebody, I go to a meeting, I read the book, take a nap, take a walk, eat something. All of that is God to me, you know, it's practical spiritual action. And I insert that between the thought and the action of taking that drink. And he said, you do the same thing with your defects. Bring them to awareness, recognize it coming, say a prayer, talk to somebody, do something, do the opposite, you know. When I want to be selfish, be kind, you know, be charitable. When I want to lash out, you know, the 11-step prayer. Do the opposite of what I want to do. That usually serves me pretty well. But, you know, and that's the way he explained it is the more I did that and served God between the thought and the action, you know, God would remove that defect. Now, again, it's this far away to grab back. And the thing Trent and I were talking about on the way here, just my defects take so many forms. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll come at me from every direction in such subtle ways that he's got to be awful busy to remove all of mine, much less y'all's. Mm. So, but he's doing a pretty good job, and again, to the extent that I'm willing and willing to take the action. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. Okay, we come to our final reading on page 76. When ready, we say something like this. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step 7.
That is a... So, before I got to AA, and people are different... Yeah, you know, we're all a little different when we get here. I had not spent time praying. I think I'd been around prayer to a certain extent, having been in church. But I had not, the people I ran with, we didn't stop and pray before we were going to go to, that's not what we did. And so prayer to me was a foreign thing when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. I hadn't been around much, I hadn't been exposed to much, and I didn't object to it. It's not like I had a particular part of me that I thought other people praying was fine. I hoped people were praying for me the way I was living. I'm sure they were, and I'm sure that's how I got here. But for me to read or to say a prayer, to say the Serenity Prayer when I got here, it just frightened me like crazy. Like I prayer itself just seemed like a something that I would never do for any reason. I just was not that type of person. I would have swore to you that I would have never stayed here. And I think that's the reason why tonight is good for me, because that's that part in step five that talks about it, drinking again, is echoed in what we were talking about before the meeting, which is if God runs you out this door, liquor will run you right back in. And I heard that loud and clear. It was people saying simple things like that that made me think, well, let me try this. And so, for example, this prayer, which is a, now that I look at it with a different set of eyes, in the time that I've been here, I could look at it every day, which I probably don't look at it every day, but I look at it relatively often. And this typifies what I should do in my everyday life. It shows me a path towards having every single defect of character removed so that my usefulness to God as I understand him increases. And I just am always filled with gratitude. And if you're new in here tonight, it's a hard thing to convey. You'll hear us talk about it, but it's a hard thing to really explain. That all this has been done for me way before I got here. The guys that did this before I was born, they did this because it worked. And this prayer, now that it is part of my life and that I've done it many, many, many times, both for myself and with other men, the last sentence, which says, "Grant me strength as I go out of here to do your bidding, amen," that to me is what gives me the kind of impetus to go out for the 12th step. That's what I think at least part of the bidding is to carry the message to people that are coming into Alcoholics Anonymous and say, hey, I came into Alcoholics Anonymous once, not knowing really what was going on here. And there were people here to explain to me what to do, how to do it, what order to do it in, how to get a home group, you know, what's contained in the big book. Why would we sit around and do stuff like this? I mean, we could be doing anything tonight. And all of us in here got up, came here, and hopefully a lot of people came here to help each other or to get help yourself. I know now that when I got here, I needed this level of help. Like people shared with me when I got here, I had a God-sized hole. So you people weren't going to be able to fill that. And this prayer points me in the direction of what's going to fill that hole. And like we were talking about before the meeting, that kind of jitteriness, you know, this time of the year, a lot of people are affected. That's the time where I need a power greater than myself. I need it all the time, but there are times where I feel the need more acutely than others. And tonight reminds me that regardless of how long I've been here, that you know, sobriety goes on, and I need to continue to ask my higher power to send me out of here so I can do whatever he wants me to do. I haven't always known what that is. You know, a lot of times I'm looking back now from here, but when I was sober 5, 10, 15 years, I didn't always know. I barely know what's going on now. but I'm glad to be here tonight, and I know that this is a part of what's going on. And I'm thankful that people in Alcoholics Anonymous put up with me long enough to teach me all that. So, thanks.
Thanks, Trent. I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic.
Dave.
And the other thing in the 12, I think it's in the 12 and 12, my sponsor pointed out, was this is a lifetime job. And this process, he said it was like living amends to the world and to God, you know, this process. That I'd sure done a lot of harm to all of that. But you know, when I read the prayer, a few things stand out to me. One is, you know, take all of me, the good and the bad. You know, that we do have good, and that's why he had me do that list of assets. And, you know, to concentrate on those, using those instead of my defects, you know, that in many cases I could substitute those assets. You know, nobody had made a worse case of using the gifts he gave me than me. And I took them all for granted. I thought they were all, you know, mine. I had created them, and the truth is, you know, he gave me everything. And AA, through this process, has allowed me to be better at using those. The end there, where Trent said to do your bidding. So once again, action. You know, I have to go out and work and do his bidding, and that comes back into the middle that Trent talked about. you know, remove the defects of character because they stand in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows, to God and my fellows. And that's, yeah, that's the 12th step. That's helping others. That's, you know, once again, getting out of self, because all those defects are self-centered, selfishness, self-centeredness, you know. It just goes on and on. But when I'm working with others or being useful, then I'm not thinking about myself. And that's really the best place to be for me. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Trent. Thank you for sharing. We're going to pass the seventh tradition basket now. I'm going to read the self-support green card. The seventh tradition states, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all AA groups around the world. Are there any AA-related announcements?
My name is Will Bailey. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Will.
Hey, Will. It's a Bill W. home group in Suffolk. We're going to have a workshop on Thursday, March 3rd. It's the third in the series of the three legacies, and it'll be on the legacy of service. We have three panelists, Dave B. from Norfolk, Lou A. from Portsmouth, and Tom B. from Virginia Beach. The evening will begin at 6:30. The workshop at 7:30 will run an hour and a half. Thank you.
Thanks, Will.
Thank you. I'd like to welcome you all to our Monday supper and a speaker on March 7th. At 6 o'clock, potluck supper, 7 o'clock speaker meeting. And that's right here at Simple Actions. We're going to have Mark G. from Richmond. Again, that's March 7th. There's flyers up here. Please feel free to take some and hand them out. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. But home group members, please raise your hands. Thank you. Newcomers, is there anyone here in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you.
Hey, Mike, welcome.
There's not one behind me.
Hey, Amy, welcome.
Glad you're here. Okay. The literature is available. Please see me or any home group member after the meeting. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. Anyone willing to be a sponsor, please raise your hand. If you have any questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, Stephanie will and BJ will be here after the meeting and available to talk to you. Please feel free to ask them any questions. We have a reminder, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. We'd like, in closing, to ask Trent, or thank Trent and David for sharing tonight. On this cold night, for coming out. Thank you so much. And thanks to all who participated. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue this conversation on the steps discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol, a few blocks up the street on Colonial. I need a volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on page 164. A volunteer?
I got it. Second edition, published in 1955.
Thank you.
I wonder if it's the same. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your paths. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Would you like to join us to close the meeting with the Lord's Prayer?
Would
you like to take us in, please?
Sure. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.